Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we find ourselves at the beginning of a new season in the church year, the first Sunday in Epiphany. And if you've noticed, maybe, the cards in the backs of the pews have changed to reflect that. And the communion statement is still the same on the back, but we're in a new season, and so we have those cards to try to help you understand. You know, Epiphany is a season where we recognize the manifestation of God's presence with us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so it starts on January 6th, and if you did something at home, I think that would be great. If you didn't, that's okay. Maybe next year you can do something. And we recognize where the wise men came, and that's where we start Epiphany. And so then the first Sunday brings us to the baptism of our Lord. And so this morning, as we listen to God's word, from Paul's letter to the Romans, we learn something about who we are and about who God is. And then in so doing, that helps us to better recognize the grace and the mercy that is present in Matthew's account of Jesus' baptism. Leading up to our text in chapter 6, Paul has written to these Gentile Christians, establishing two doctrinal truths up to this point. The great sinfulness of man, all men, and the greater grace of God in Christ. To give some of this context, I want to read just a couple of verses that lead up to our text. So if you want to get out your Bibles, you can, or the Pew Bibles, and look up Romans chapter 5, verse 17 is where I'm going to start off, and then we'll get into chapter 6, the actual reading for today. But Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 17, says this: "For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to the condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to the justification and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so then, picking up at our text for today, Paul writes this then in chapter 6: "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" You see, Paul, whether anticipating the possible responses that people might make to the grace that is available, or drawing on past experiences with other people, more likely both, he asks these series of questions. And no, he's not attempting to dispel ignorance when he asks these questions. The rhetorical force of them is to shed light. To shed light on latent, willful disobedience. To illuminate the temptation Christians face to enjoy so-called cheap grace. The idea that, well, I love to sin and God loves to forgive. This is good news. I can just do it and He'll forgive me. You know what cheap grace is. We bank on it every time we've done something, thinking that it's better to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission. Anytime the ends justify the means, the thoughts we'd rather not hold captive because they're too exciting, the words which before wouldn't pass your lips that now serve as commas in everyday speech, at least until your parents or your spouse are in the room, the things that you may have blushed at doing years ago, may have shed tears over confessing, but now might as well be considered a normal part of your Tuesday. Each of these is cheap grace. Each of these is a chain keeping us bound in sin. Confronted by the weight of the realization of our indiscretions, we each lament, I should be different. I need to try harder. But if we're honest, truly honest with ourselves, no amount of trying harder lasts. We do a thing, it's imperfect and incomplete. But when God does a thing, when God steps into our lives, and when we relent of our control, and when we surrender to Him, when we remember that He is Lord of all creation, and that He has chosen us, then we can start to truly know the deliverance that God has gifted to us in our baptism. And then we know why Jesus had to be baptized. Because Jesus steps into the waters of the Jordan River to identify with us sinners and to bring about the righteousness that we need, that we cannot provide for ourselves. And so we were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, and we have, this isn't a question of condition whether or not, it's because we have, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. For we know, we don't doubt, we don't question, we don't wonder. We know. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin, that it might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Jesus, who though He was without sin, willingly identified Himself with sinners, and so was baptized by John to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus, who though He was King of all creation, submitted to the cross because grace is not cheap, but comes from the holy, precious blood of Christ and His innocent suffering and death. Jesus, risen and reigning over all of creation, has rescued you from sin, death, and the devil. And we are assured of this by God's promise through the prophet Isaiah. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. And I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. This is God's promise to you, that he has done this work through Jesus Christ. It's not up to you. It's up to him, and he is faithful, and he can and has done the work for you. And if you are baptized, that gift is yours. Believe it. Receive it. Walk in it. Because as Paul tells us in Romans 6:14, sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. And may the peace, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in this gift of Christ Jesus revealed to us. Amen.